Boston Celtics blow it, losing Game 1 to the Miami Heat in overtime. But, hey, at least we're not the Clippers, right? It's a Wednesday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hi there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter. After the Boston Celtics lose 117-114 in overtime in a game they should have won. They had many opportunities to win, and I'm going to talk about it and flip the script a little bit here in this podcast. Usually after games, it's positives first, negatives second, and then whatever the storyline is in the third segment. I'm going to do the negatives first. There's a lot to get to there. And then the positives second, not much there. And then in the third segment, the Celtics are talking a lot. And man, they're saying the right things. But now I'm really questioning whether they're learning any of the lessons that they say they've learned. All of that's coming up in a minute. I just want to thank all of the new listeners who are checking out the podcast. Maybe this is your first time. Hope you like the podcast enough to subscribe, follow on Spotify, wherever podcasts exist. All of you regular listeners, thank you for rating, reviewing, and sharing the podcast. It's really, really helpful. The Locked On Celtics podcast is the number one podcast on iTunes. It's in the top 100 of all sports podcasts on Spotify. I don't know the number yet. I just got told that, hey, where I think it's the highest ranked Locked On podcast in Spotify. I might not 100% sure on that, but it's up there, and it's all because of you guys. So thank you for all of that. All right, to this game. I've avoided talking about this game long enough. Heat, 117-114 winners over the Celtics. Celtics were led by Jason Tatum with 30 points, 26 from Marcus Smart, 19 from Kemba Walker, who kind of salvaged a very poor shooting game to finish with 19 points. A little bit surprising that he had 19 points. Jaylen Brown had 17. Goran Dragic led the Miami Heat with 29. 22 from Jay Crowder. 20 from Jimmy Butler. That's kind of tough when Jimmy Butler's the third leading scorer and the Celtics still lose. But let's start with these negatives. And part of the reason why they lost, this is the big story of the game, really. Fourth quarter, they're up 14. But the Celtics kind of let up. They let Miami get into the bonus with 7:18 left. And you can look at that as the difference in this game right there. The Celtics up 14, and half of that comeback was at the line. Miami was 10 of 12 from the line, and Boston was 3 of 3. Now, if they didn't get into foul trouble early and some of those free throws go away, then this comeback likely doesn't happen, at least not like this. And the Celtics had an opportunity. They had the ball and an opportunity to win the game. It was a tie game. By the way, the Marcus Smart drawing the foul. When the Celtics were down one and you knew Marcus Smart was going to do something, right? Like as soon as he drew that charge, it was like, of course he drew that charge. But he gets the foul before the ball is inbounded. The Celtics tie the game, and that last shot, I'm going down these separate roads here. That last shot, first on one side, it was a good look. Like Jason Tatum hits that. He's in rhythm. You don't want to get too many defenders involved because you don't want some kind of crazy turnover. I get that. But at the same time, you saw how he got by Jimmy Butler at the end of overtime. There was plenty of time on the clock for Jason Tatum to make some sort of move individually, get to a spot on the floor where maybe he had a better percentage shot at making that basket. But whatever, he was fine with the shot he took after the game. Brad Stevens was fine with the shot that he took after the game, at least that's what they said. But it didn't have to come down to that, because the Celtics allowed a lot of things. in the fourth quarter where they lost this 14-point lead, not only did Miami make up 7 of those points from the free throw line, the Celtics were just going into ISO too much. And this is part of another negative. The Celtics were hunting the isolation mismatches way too much. Early in the game, the Celtics came out. They looked great. The first quarter, or the first half of the first quarter, the way they were playing, I thought, wow, they are going to roll the Miami Heat. Because I'm sitting here afraid of Miami. I've been sitting here thinking like, I don't know. This is going to be a tough series. But I've listened to some other podcasts, and there are people out there who are just like, you know what? I don't see Miami as that big of a threat. So at first, I'm watching this game. I'm like, wow, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was wrong to give them that much credit. But the thing is, they just never go away. And the Celtics do go away from what works. They came out so moving the ball, attacking. Attack, get the ball out to the three-point line, attack again. They were just multiple attacks on the rim, moving the ball like crazy. It was awesome. But as this thing got away from them, they fell in love with Jason Tatum. Where's Tyler Hero? Where's Duncan Robinson? Where's Goran Dragic? Where are these guys? Kemba Walker's got Bam Adebayo. Let me try to get by him. I'm just going to isolate and dribble, 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 and then do something, and it got them into trouble. Now, Kemba had a particularly bad night, another negative, where he was really struggling to shoot. Now, he did hit both of his shots in overtime. He hit a big shot late in the fourth quarter, so he did step up and hit some timely shots, but overall, did not play well. 6 of 19, 1 of 9 from 3. My partner on the beat, Tom Westerholm at Mass Live. Kemba Walker in his last 5 games from 3. Okay, 1 of 9, 1 of 7, 1 of 6, 1 of 6, 1 of 6. His shot is way, way off. Started in game 5 of, game 4 of the semifinal series against the Raptors. But Kemba, isolating when he doesn't have it going, that's not the way to get it going. Now, he missed some shots that he would normally make during the regular season, and he hit 6 of 7 from of his free throws. So it's his shot is still, you know, it's still there. He still has some level of touch, but going after Bam Adebayo, going after Jimmy Butler, those aren't going to be the ways. Where are those double screens? And I know Miami was playing a zone in a lot of this. So where are the side pick and rolls that allow him to get into some of the gaps? Where's the attacking of the zone and getting into the middle of the zone? Where is that stuff? To get a guy going, you got to get him clean looks. Move the ball, multiple attacks. Again, I'll say it again, multiple attacks. But no, in the fourth quarter, as it got later, the more the Celtics kind of went into isolation mode. What happens in isolation mode? Guys stand around. One guy dribble, 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 shoot. Everyone else is standing around. You watch that shot miss, especially if it's a three-pointer, long rebound. Miami got a ton of rebounds out into transition. What happened? The Celtics did not get back in transition in the fourth quarter. Celtics got decimated points in the paint, 48-26. The Celtics in the second quarter got especially three happy. And I'm fine with the Celtics shooting a ton of threes. That's today's NBA. Okay, they end up shooting 19 three-pointers, which is actually, I would have expected them to shoot more than that. I don't mind that they shot 19 three-pointers. 7 of 19 is not bad. 37% is not bad. That's about average. But they didn't have to shoot the ones that they shot. It's all about the quality of the shot, especially in the second quarter. The ones that they shot were just awful. A lot of them were awful. They were quick. Marcus Smart had one of the three-pointers after a turnover. The Celtics weren't able to capitalize on those turnovers as much as they should have. They had 13 turnovers. They did manage 18 points, but they could have done more. They could have gotten more off of that, because that Marcus Smart shot, I tweeted it out. It's on my Twitter. turns from the corner. He just turns and fires with Jaylen Brown standing directly underneath the basket. And he just didn't even look. He just got to the corner, caught the ball, turned and fired. Not even a glance at who else might be up. It's a transition opportunity. Who else got up on the, up the floor? And when guys don't get the ball in those positions, when Jaylen Brown doesn't get the ball on, right underneath the basket, that's deflating. And that's distracting. Because now he's pissed at Marcus Smart. Now, not for long, but that's all part of it. That all plays into it. So, Celtics showed in this game, just like they showed throughout the Toronto series, that they know how to do it. They did it. And they had multiple leads, and they blew those leads. Now, in the third segment, I'm really going to talk about more about this because there's a lot more to get into. One more negative before I wrap this up and I don't go too crazy in this segment. Brad Stevens in the second quarter made a mistake in playing Brad Wanamaker, Semi Ojeleye, and Grant Williams together. Just can't have three bench guys like that together. And this is where they really miss Gordon Hayward, because Brad's trying to get these guys some rest. I think part of some of what happened can be due to some fatigue. I'm sure that there is some fatigue. I mean, these guys have played a lot of minutes, almost 44 minutes for Jaylen, 43 for Tatum, 43 for Smart, 43 for Kemba. It's a lot of minutes. After that grueling seven-game series, I'm sure there's some fatigue in there, and I get that this is hard, but still, playing Brad and Shemi and Grant together in the second quarter, I think that let Miami really get going. It was almost like playing Cantor in game three against the Raptors series. It's against the Heat, it's just too much, too many miscommunications, too many breakdowns. Two of those guys, maybe, but three, I think it was a mistake. And I think Brad knows it was a mistake because he never went back to three guys. We're going to go with the positives. There were a few positives, I swear, not many. We're going to talk about those in a moment. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. All right, what went right in this game? Like I said earlier, there are signs. If you go through the game film, and I have got to go back and watch it all again, but if you go through the game film, there are bits and pieces. Like if you edit out some of those places where they got stagnant, there are long stretches of this game where the Celtics looked pretty good. Celtics defense wasn't bad. I mean, like I said, they forced 13 turnovers and they got 18 points, which is not bad. They could have gotten more. They were getting live ball turnovers. The Celtics took care of the ball, 11 turnovers. They still gave up 14 points off of those, so they have to get back into transition a little bit better. But the Celtics had opportunities. They had a 14-point lead, like I said. There are stretches in this game. So I don't want the end result to color the entire 53 minutes in this game. There were things that went right. Jason Tatum's first half was brilliant. 15 points, 6 of 9 field goals, 3 of 5 from 3. One of those threes was that last-second shot. Like I said before, it could have been a better one. But in the second half, he devolved into some of the mistakes that everyone else was falling into. 4 of 11 in the second half, 0 for 4 on top of that in the overtime. So he struggled after halftime. But in the first half, he was really, I mean, he had the sidestep three going. He was playing just awesome and making plays. He had a blocked shot that on Jimmy Butler that was great. He had two blocked shots on the night. Three steals. I mean, I think defensively, he was playing generally pretty well. But, like I said, he couldn't carry it through the whole game. Brad Wanamaker had a great game. I tweeted out in the third quarter where the Celtics had their bench in, or it was late in the fourth quarter, actually, early in the fourth quarter, that Celtics had Wanamaker and I think Grant in there. And I said, they got to take their bench out. Their bench isn't getting it done. And I lumped Brad Wanamaker into That second quarter, he was a negative on the floor because he was part of that group with Grant and Semi Ojeleye. Now, when I tweeted that out, Wanamaker had just gotten lost in transition, and Miami had given up a three. I mean, Miami had just hit a three. So I saw Brad Wanamaker get lost there, and I said, these guys, you got to get him out of there. But in reality, Brad Wanamaker had a better game than I was giving him credit for at that point. The five steals was great. Six assists was tied for the team high with Kemba. 11 points, three rebounds, 3 of 5 shooting, 5 of 5 from the line. He generally was pretty good in this game, so I want to make sure that he has the credit. Like I said, Marcus Smart was shooting great, 9 of 18 in this game, 6 of 13 from 3. So you look at the shooting numbers, he was generally pretty good, 26 points, 3 rebounds, just 1 assist, which is not particularly great. I think there was a stretch, and I made a note in the second quarter, that Marcus got a little too shot happy. Like, I'm all for Marcus Smart shooting. I'm all for Marcus getting the shots in the flow of the offense. I think the one that I pointed out where he just turned and fired and didn't see Jaylen Brown under the basket. Again, some of this happens. I get it. And there's a lot of it, it's very easy for me to pick apart sitting at home, watching with three different screens and looking at different angles and all this stuff. Like, all of that is, it's a fair rebuttal. But Marcus, on a night where he shoots so well, he actually could have shot better percentage-wise. Not that he could have hit more shots, but he could have missed fewer shots because I think he got caught up in how hot he was. And not just a heat check. He had a heat check. Everybody's going to have, like, he's going to definitely give you a heat check. That's going to happen. But I thought that he made some poor decisions and shot a little too quickly. And as I was saying in the first segment, this isn't really much of a positive segment, is it? But it is, like, when you have this game, there were very few things that were overwhelmingly positive, just all around. But anyway, Marcus Smart, I think, got caught up in, hey, I'm hot. Hey, Kemba's struggling. Maybe I can carry this team and do a lot. And I think he just took a few shots that were a little too quick. So on top of everything, I think Smart, the one assist is something that, if I'm going to criticize Marcus Smart, and I don't often have a lot of criticism from Marcus Smart, it is that one assist. And it does support my point that 18 shots and one assist, even if some of those passes were shots that missed, I think that Marcus Smart's at his best when he's facilitating and a little bit more flow of the offense. That's basically it. When Smart's out there, he's got to make sure that the offense flows a little bit better. But in general, his shooting was amazing, and he was hitting some huge shots. So I think Marcus Smart's shooting was a tremendous positive in this game one. So, and I also want to say that their overall 3-point shooting defense, I mean, to hold Miami to 35%, 6 of 17, that's not bad. I will say again with that, there is a negative in that because they lost Jay Crowder a lot, and he was 5 of 9. But they got Duncan Robinson 2 of 7, Tyler Hero 2 of 5. To limit them, like, 2 of 5 is a good percentage, it's 40%, but only 2 3-pointers for Tyler Hero is good. Now, he had some timely 3-pointers, but to hold him to that is great. Now, he had 9 assists, so there's the follow-up to that is, you know, don't run him off the line and then let him pick you apart. Tyler Hero can't have 9 assists on you. But that was generally okay defense with the three. They didn't get destroyed by the three, but they did get picked apart as far as some poorly timed threes. That's the best I could do with a segment that's supposed to be positive. I'm sorry. After a loss like that, it's hard to pull the positives out. Going to come back after a couple minutes here, and it struck me how much the Celtics are talking and what they're saying about lessons that they've learned and things that they know they need to do. However, they just keep on doing these things. And it's starting to get a little old, to be honest with you. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Of course, I have to talk about Built Bar, which I pack into now. I used to have it for breakfast. Now I'm hitting the gym a lot more, putting a Built Bar in my pack, and I'm having it immediately after a workout. There are a lot of different ways you can have what is the best tasting protein bar I've ever had. They have improved it so it tastes even better. They've added 6 new flavors, including their on top of their 12 original flavors. There are nut flavors. There are non-nut flavors. They're all covered in 100% chocolate. They taste like a candy bar, and they're soft and easy to chew. But they are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. If you're on a keto diet, they're great for that. I like the peanut butter ones, okay? 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. Can't go wrong with something like that. So they're great whether you're trying to lose or maintain your weight and you want to indulge in a little bit something. You can go to BuiltBar.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Even if you've used it once before in the original, with the original formula, you can use it again. BuiltBar.com, LOCKEDON. You're going to get $10 off your next order. So go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code Locked On. You're going to get $10 off your next order. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. In my job, I get to listen to everything the Boston Celtics said. I talk to players, the coach. I'm in on all the Zoom calls. I hear everything, and not everything gets used in our pieces, but I hear them over and over and over again. And after this game, it just stuck out to me when they were talking about getting stagnant. And Marcus Smart, I think, especially, I'll read his quote. "We rested and we got complacent. And against a team like this, you can't get complacent. Up 14, up 20, up 30. They're really good at playing from behind." Okay, that's the part of the quote right there. And he said that, and I had to follow up because I watched the Toronto series. I watched them blow game 3. I watched them have leads in game 6 that they could have won that game. I've watched them get complacent over and over and over again. So I asked him, he's like, "Well, you say this, but can it be fixed?" And he says, it's definitely something that can be fixed. It's part of the game. You're not going to be perfect every night. You're going to make mistakes. You just try to learn from your mistakes on both ends." That's true. You're not going to be perfect every night. And I have to make sure. It is tough in the bubble. And Brad Stevens has said that when you're there, you don't judge as harshly as you might when you're not. And this is probably one of those cases where he might not be as harsh. I don't know. I'm not there to hear what he's saying in the film. But this is maybe a little more harsh than he's going to get. And I'm sure other people are even worse as far as being harsh. And I get that the other team is out there. Miami is out there. They're good. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals. They have a say in how this goes. However, it's not that they played well and Miami just made great plays. That last play in OT, where Tatum drove and Adebayo blocked the shot, that's a great play. That's one player making a great play and a defensive player making a better play. I am not going to criticize Jason Tatum for that at all. He had a dunk opportunity, and Adebayo flew over and blocked that shot. So be it. That's how the game goes. What I have a problem with is having gone through a 7-game series, when they told us in their first practice, and a couple days ago, when somebody asks the very simple, somewhat mundane question, what lessons did you learn from the Toronto Raptors series? And these guys sat there, Kemba, Tatum, they both said, got to learn how to close out quarters. We got to be better at closing out quarters. We got to be better at closing out halves, better at closing out games. And then here they are in their first opportunity with this lesson fresh in their head. They told us what the lessons were. We didn't put it on them. They said, we got to be better at closing out games. Okay. Well, here's your opportunity to close out a game. 14-point lead, fourth quarter, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. And what do? Foul, foul, foul. Bonus with more than 7 minutes to go. Give up a ton of free throws. Don't get back on defense. Isolate and don't run your offense. Seems to me that the Celtics haven't learned anything. If you're sitting there telling me that, we can't get complacent, can't let up, because when you let up at this level, they're going to hurt you. Well, you just told us that that's the case. You just told us that that's a lesson that you learned. And then you turn around and you say, well, we did it again. Well, how are we supposed to react to that? And I know this team isn't just giving in. I don't think that they're just getting cocky. I do think that at some point when you get comfortable in this situation, I get that there's some of it where it's like, it's been 2 months. Brad Stevens talks about it's been 70 days away from home. Like, I get that there's some of that going on. I get it. But you know that it's happening. You know that you have to stop it. You've told us that, and yet it happens again. And I don't know how that stops. I don't know if it's on Brad Stevens to call an early, quick, mad Brad timeout, which, I mean, he did call a timeout fairly early in the fourth quarter. I don't know exactly when it was, but I'm trying to look quickly on the it was with 8:57 left. So Celtics were still up 6. Maybe he calls that earlier. Maybe after you see that there's 2 fouls there and Crowder gets the game down to 10, maybe you call a timeout there. I don't know. Maybe that's the answer. I didn't think about that in the moment when the game was going on. But if Brad Stevens is sitting there with guys saying that we get complacent, we know that they're getting complacent, we know that they're not getting their offense, what do you do? You call your timeouts, you use your timeouts. Brad's very protective of those timeouts. But at some point, maybe just using them earlier in the fourth quarter will prevent the need for having them later on. I don't know if that's the answer. But something, somewhere, somehow, if these guys are saying this and still doing it, then somewhere along the way in this game, there has to be a way to smack this reality into them. Is it a substitution? You got no substitutions to make. We just talked about the guys on the bench. Like, you can't. I mean, maybe do you pull Kemba, who's having a tough game? You kind of can't. Still, I'd still rather have Kemba out there. I mean, he did hit late shots. Like, I think the late shots that he hit prove that you still need to kind of keep him out there because he's still a threat. And on top of it, they were blitzing him, and each time they really blitzed him and got him all the way back to like half court, he kind of like kept drawing the defenders back, and then he got the ball away and 2 wide open 3-pointers. In rhythm, they were great. So I'd still rather have Kemba out there. I don't know what the solution is. I really don't. But at some point here, either stop saying it or start doing something different. You know, it's easy to do these things wrong. It's easy to devolve into isolation. It's easy to say, you know what? I don't want to move. I've talked about this before on the podcast. All of this isolation ball, I think, is a sign of fatigue, because it's very easy for a guy to say, you know what? I've got Tyler Herro in front of me. I'm just going to try and bust his ass. And if the shot goes in, the shot goes in. If not, we'll just try and get back, get the next one. That's so much easier than breaking him down, drive, kick, run out to the opposite corner, rotate up, get the ball back, drive again. There's a lot of effort there. You're running a lot more. And everyone has to be doing that. It's hard to do that. All of this is hard. I know all of this is hard. But it's the difference between going to the NBA Finals and not going to the NBA Finals. This is, some of it may sound irrational. I know all of my years when I was working in television, one of the things I hated to hear the most from a news director was, just get it done. When I sat there and told him all the ways it can't be done, he'd turn around, or she'd turn around and say, you know what? Just get it done. And you have to find a way. Because that's the cruel necessity of becoming a champion. Find a way. And an idiot like me isn't going to give it to you. A genius like Brad Stevens might not be able to give it to you. You're going to find it somewhere inside of you. If you're going to sit there and say, yeah, we keep getting complacent. I don't know why, but we got to stop doing it. Find a way. Find a way, or else the Miami Heat are going to go to the NBA Finals. Got to find a way. I hope you find a way to subscribe if you're a new listener. Hope you appreciate, hope you enjoyed the show, I should say. I appreciate you listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed it enough to subscribe or follow on Spotify. The regular listeners, I really appreciate you guys too. I know how important it is to have the listeners who come back over and over and over again. You really drive the show. You really drive the numbers, and they've been great. And it's mostly because of you. And I'm thankful that you are part of this show and the progression of the show. And thanks to everyone for listening. I guess I'm kind of running out of steam myself. I might be getting a little too complacent. I've got to finish the show. So I'm just going to say thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.